My guest at this time is Gail Trotter. She's a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum here in Washington. She joins me now to talk about the lopsided results and lopsided wins for Bernie Sanders for the Democrats and Donald Trump for the Republicans in Tuesday's New Hampshire primary, and specifically the role of women voters in both of those victories. And Gail, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Well, Hillary Clinton has certainly made a strong emphasis on the fact that she would be the first female president, and a little bit later we'll get into some of her tactics along those lines. But in looking at the exit polls, Hillary Clinton, as expected, got trounced among young women. But even overall, Bernie Sanders comfortably winning the women's vote in New Hampshire. Now, maybe it's just a state that trends his way, but even other polls in other places and nationwide suggest that gender is not necessarily a huge advantage for Hillary Clinton this year. What do you make of what we saw last night?
That's right. It looks like the only demographic that she really excelled in was the over 65 demographic.
Right.
And you saw the comments by Madeleine Albright saying that there was a special place in hell for women who just don't support other women. And Madeleine Albright is certainly over 65 years old. Gloria Steinem, who's also over 65 years old, made national news for saying that the reason young women were attracted to Bernie Sanders was because that's where the boys are. And those comments do not help Hillary Clinton. There are a lot of young women who expect that there will be a woman president one day in their lifetimes, but Hillary Clinton is not the woman that they want to be commander-in-chief.
So talk about how she's been so, I guess, obvious about this. I remember in the first debate, one of the questions was, how would you be different from President Obama? And her answer was, I'd be a woman. And then there's, of course, the fact that Albright and Steinem mentioned and made very striking comments that certainly did not work to her advantage. And then even in the most recent debate on MSNBC, it was mentioned to Bernie Sanders that a lot of people in his home state endorsed Hillary. He said that the establishment's on her side, and here's the exchange that took place.
Secretary Clinton has the support of far more governors, mayors, members of the House. She has the entire establishment behind them. That's a fact. I don't deny it.
Look, I've got to just jump in here because, honestly, Senator Sanders is the only person who I think would characterize me a woman running to be the first woman president as exemplifying the establishment.
Her argument being that because she's a woman, she can't be establishment. How did that strike you? And how does this whole strategy of making this such a huge part of her campaign strike you?
Right. That's such a silly statement. That was, I think, the most defining moment of that debate. And she's a woman who's been in the quarters of power for decades. And she is also trying to run on the idea that she'll be a third term of President Barack Obama. She's trying to have it both ways. And I think the young women who are dissatisfied with the establishment, and we see that it's an anti-establishment election on both sides of the aisle, they're dissatisfied with that answer. It doesn't answer Bernie Sanders' criticism, and to pull out the woman card in answer to her being as deeply entrenched as in the establishment as one could imagine a politician could possibly do is just really astonishing.
Last question on Hillary before we transition to Trump here, Gail. So what does she do now? It seems like the fire in the base is certainly with Sanders. There's some states coming up with larger minority populations that a lot of folks expect will be more favorable towards her. But in terms of inspiring people, what do you see as her calling card other than the fact that she'd be the first woman president?
A lot of polling has shown that Bernie Sanders is sky high on trustworthiness and trustfulness with the voters, with the Democratic voters. Hillary Clinton at this point is relying on that southern firewall of support, particularly in South Carolina, that she'll be able to hang in there. And I think she really feels that this nomination is owed to her for all of the time that she has put in. Every time she goes out on the campaign trail, she's talking about how hard she has worked. But yet that does not seem to be resonating with Democratic voters who want to be inspired. Bernie Sanders is something very different than what we've seen in Washington, and he is connecting with voters across the country. And on top of that, he's offering something very, very different than what Hillary Clinton is.
I got to follow up on one point you just made there because it reminded me of an exit poll, I think, that CNN was showing that among Democratic voters, only 5% considered her honest, only 12% said she cared about people like them. Is there any way to recover from that?
I don't think so. When you're really facing an FBI investigation into whether or not you followed proper procedure and may have even violated the law on handling of classified information and refused to really produce the documentation on it, half of her emails were deleted and can't even be reviewed under these Freedom of Information Act requests. It is hard to prove that you're trustworthy when you have that deficit hanging, that cloud basically hanging over you. So Sanders has a big advantage in that trustworthiness character issue.
Well, Gail, until people actually started voting, the conventional wisdom was that women were going to flock to Hillary and they were going to hate Donald Trump. We just established that in the first couple of races, the first part hasn't been true. And looking at the exit polls last night, the second part may not be true either. Granted, it's just one state, and Trump did so well that he carried more women voters than any other candidate. But he carried 38% of the men and 33% of the women. This is the guy who got in the big dust-up with Megyn Kelly about how he treated and talked about women in the past. But at least early on in this campaign, it doesn't seem like women voters are all that bothered with it.
No, they're not taking to the fainting couches. And I think that that's one of two reasons why Trump is doing okay with women. One is that women are tough and they understand that politics is not beanbag, as Jeb Bush said. And they're maybe slightly offended by some of the things that he said, but they really care that he's tapping into these issues that seem to be pressing on our nation right now. I think his other secret weapon are the women who are very successful and accomplished, who are going on the campaign trail for him. And I'd say his exhibit A is his daughter Ivanka. She's over 8 months pregnant, and you might have noticed in his speech last night when he talked about winning and how happy he was, he particularly noted Ivanka and said she had been to 7 events politicking for him. She is a great ambassador for him, and she continues to, you know, basically say he's a huge supporter of women in that inimical way that Trump and his family, you know, makes these grand statements. And I think that is his secret card.
Do you think it ever catches up with him, or ultimately are there so many concerns about the direction of the country that it's not likely to be one of the dominant issues in the primary or the general?
It's hard to imagine. This is a politician in my lifetime, the only one I've ever seen who uses a media firestorm as a campaign strategy. So not only does he say all of these kind of outrageous things, he embraces them. He is excited and proud of saying them. So it's hard to believe that he could really say anything worse than he's already said, or if he did, that it would have any kind of backlash on him. All the political pundits and prognosticators said there was no way that he could recover from any of these comments, and yet he has proven them wrong time and time again.
Last topic, and we're just about out of time here, Gail, last minute or two. We've just, before we started recording here, found out that Republican candidate Carly Fiorina, the lone woman on the GOP side, has decided to suspend her campaign. She was not known by many people across the country when she started, did very well in some of the early debates and got some momentum, but never seemed to be able to sustain it between debates. Ultimately, she was left off the last debate stage and did not do well in either Iowa or New Hampshire. What do you think is the long-term retrospective on her campaign?
I think it's great that she participated. I think she had a great message and a lot of really strong policy proposals. But I think not being on that debate stage really killed her campaign. And, you know, maybe if Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright had really put into practice their own philosophy of standing up for women and campaign for Carly Fiorina, we might have seen some difference. But of course they were never going to do that, because it's never about being a woman. It's about having the proper ideology. That's the key for leftist feminists. And for Carly Fiorina, I think her lack of political experience, even though Donald Trump doesn't have it, he has the celebrity. Carly Fiorina didn't have the political experience and did not have the celebrity factor.
Only 48 states to go, Gail.
I'm excited. How about you, Greg?
I can't wait. This has been anything but dull. So we'll see how long it takes for both parties to decide on their nominees for 2016. And we'll be happy to check in as the road continues. Gail, thanks for your time today.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Gail Trotter is a senior fellow at the Independent Women's Forum. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.